This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Really, though, we need to be refreshed each day. We want to stand firm and live our lives in a way that glorifies God. We want to be on fire so that those around us will be set on fire. But we need to know that freshness daily that can only come from God. We need to fight this fight of faith. Hold on to this faith that we've been given. We need to be filled and to be being filled. And I think, I haven't looked it up, but I reckon that's that present continuous tense. We need to be filled and be being filled afresh each day with the Holy Spirit. This is where our refreshing comes from. This is where our help comes from. I don't want my walk, I don't want my Christian walk to be stale or unfulfilling. I want it to be alive and active every day. And I know our faith, our walk, it's not about all about what we can get from God, but if we're not on fire, if we don't have the fire of God in us, then what will others be seeing? So I want to stir us up today to have that hunger for God, to have a fresh hunger for more of Him daily. I was doing some tidying up and I came across some notes that I took when Jeremiah Yap was here one time. And I just want to share with you some of the things that I wrote down from what he shared. He was talking about the soul. He said, the soul is the bridge between our spirit and our body. And he said, you can calm the storm only according to your inner peace. John 3:2 says, I pray that you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. So when our spirit comes into greater play, then our soul will change, can change. So bondages, bitterness, things in our lives can be dealt with, but our spirit has to come into that greater play. He said our soul can be cluttered or it can be a void. There can be rubbish in our hearts and minds. Whatever we focus on will grow us. So it could be problems, could be people, it could be burdens. But when we focus on the kingdom of heaven, we're focusing on a different resource. He said the prosperity of our soul is important. When our soul prospers, everything else will prosper. Understanding our soul is necessary so that we can enter the rest that God has for us. When we have that peace in our hearts, it will enable us to rule so that God can move through us. So we need to know, Jeremiah said, how great God is inside of us, not outside. He said, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is within us. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And John 14:12, this is Jesus talking, he said, most assuredly, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. The void in our soul needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where we receive the power, not only to do the works that God has for us to do, but that's where we receive the power for rest. The love of Jesus brings stability that will enlarge us, enable us, equip us for all that he wants to do. Matthew 4:17 says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven coming has to do with the condition of our souls. It has to do with the condition of every man and woman, every boy and girl's soul. The kingdom of heaven is within us. Faith, our faith is determined by who we behold, Jeremiah said. So is it our problems or our circumstances, or is it Jesus that we see? So I want us to think about the condition of our soul. I'm going to read to you from 2 Peter 1, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. So while I'm reading this, think about what's my soul? What's the condition of my soul today? 2 Peter 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle, special messenger, personally chosen representative of Jesus Christ, to those who have received and possess by God's will a precious faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, that special sense of spiritual well-being, be multiplied to you in the true intimate knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value, so that by them you may escape the immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire and become sharers of the divine nature. For this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, make every effort in exercising your faith to develop moral excellence, and in moral excellence, knowledge, insight, understanding, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, steadfastness, and in your steadfastness, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly affection, and in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love, that is, learn to unselfishly seek the best for others and to do things for their benefit. For as these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity, they will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, closing his spiritual eyes to the truth, having become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Be sure that your behaviour reflects and confirms your relationship with God. For by doing these things, actively developing these virtues, you will never stumble in your spiritual growth and will live a life that leads others away from sin. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ will be abundantly provided to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and are established in the truth which is held firmly in your grasp. I think it right, as long as I'm in this earthly tent, to inspire you by reminding you. Moreover, I will diligently see to it that even after my departure, you will be able at all times to call these things to mind. That's an exhortation to draw near to God. How is your soul doing? Is your soul prospering? Is your heart and mind and soul filled with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit of God? Are we on fire? Or are we feeling a bit dry and parched? Think about dry and parched land. What does it need? It needs water. It's thirsty. If you're dry and parched, what are we filling up on? What are we filling up on? We need to fill ourselves up with God. Kanye said that. She'll always draw near to God, not run away from him. We need to draw near to him and he will draw near to us, as James 4:8 says. So if we're dry and barren, don't turn away from God, turn to him. Matthew 22, Jesus in verse 36, Jesus talking about the greatest commandment said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind." That's the first and the greatest commandment. And Matthew 11, Jesus again talking says, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." If our soul is in need, Jesus is the only one who can supply. And that supply is obtained by faith. We come to him in faith, but our faith is something that needs to be growing. Peter said to exercise our faith and to add to our faith, and that requires intentional effort. It's not something that just happens. We have to be working on it. And Adam shared with us a couple of weeks ago from 2 Thessalonians. He said, talking about thanking God because our faith was growing. And he talked about our growth in the Lord and how he reminded us how David developed his faith when he was out in the wilderness and the lion and the bear and the different troubles that came against him, how God built character into David as he persevered and pursued God. Do you remember that song we used to sing, "Faith is like a muscle? Use it and it will grow"? I don't know whether that's scriptural, but there's truth in it, in that we need to work on our faith. It doesn't just happen. Growth takes time, but God will bring the increase. Adam reminded us of Hebrews 11 and all the heroes of faith that we can be inspired by. And then Hebrews 12, it says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. Adam counseled us to put away childish things, to put away childish attitudes. He said, God wants to bring us to maturity, and that's the truth. And then Adam prayed for us that our faith would grow. It is so important that our faith is growing and alive, that we are doing all that we can to nurture and grow our faith. It's a precious gift from God. And every day, no matter how long we've known the Lord, we need to be working to increase our faith. Because our faith is affected by the condition of our soul. So let me ask you again, what's going on in your soul? Your mind, your will and your emotions, what's going on there? We care for our soul. That's the personal bit of us, who we are as individuals, as we guard and grow our faith. And we do it by renewing our minds daily. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I just want to remind you of what Karen said before. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't take a little bit from here and a little bit from there and add to our faith. It's only what God says is true. God's the only way. Verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We need to draw near to God, our Saviour, daily. Our faith is a gift from God. We can't create it. We can't manufacture it. Refresh my heart, Lord. Set me on fire that the one next to me might be set on fire. I was thinking about that sentence, refresh my heart, Lord. And do you remember that Jeff Bullock song, refresh my heart, Lord. Renew my love. Pour your spirit into my soul. Refresh my heart. You set me apart, Lord, to make me new. By your spirit, lift me up, Lord. Refresh my heart. That's where we get our refreshing from God. Our freshness, our refreshing comes from the Holy Spirit who lives in us. By your spirit, lift me up, Lord. Renew my love. Don't turn from God, turn to him. We have the Holy Spirit in us by faith, and our faith is a gift from God. So it's all about God. It's all about him. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And 1 Corinthians 12:3, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. So what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. I want to read to you a little bit that I found in one of our Bibles. It's by Catherine Kuhlman. And she's talking about this verse in Hebrews 11. Let me read what she has to say about faith. She calls it the irresistible power of faith. She says, volumes have been written, more volumes have been spoken regarding that indefinable something called faith. Yet in the final analysis, we actually know so little of the subject. Faith is that quality or power by which things desired become the things possessed. This is the nearest to a definition of faith attempted by the Word of God. You cannot weigh faith or confine it to a container. It's not something you can take out, look at, and analyse. You cannot definitely put your finger on it and say, now this is faith. You can no more explain faith than you can describe time or define energy. In the realm of physics, we're told the atom is a small world within itself. The potential energy contained within this tiny world bewilders the mind of the average person. If you attempt to define it, you run into difficulties, and so it is with things of the spirit, especially faith. We do, however, know what it is not. One of the most common errors is to confuse faith with presumption. We must be constantly alert to the danger of mistaking one for the other, for there is a vast difference between the two. There are many who mix the ingredients of their own mental attitude with a little confidence, a little pinch of trust, a generous handful of religious egotism, quote some scripture, add some desire, then mix it all together and label it faith. Not so, she says. Faith is more than belief. It's more than confidence. It's more than trust. It's more than the sum total of all of these things, and none of them in particular. Above all, it is never boastful. If it is pure Holy Ghost faith, it will never work contrary to the will of God. The Word of God teaches that faith is a gift, and Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. One of the chief difficulties is the failure to see that faith can be received only as it is imparted to our hearts by God himself. You cannot manufacture it. You cannot work it up. You can believe a promise and at the same time not have the faith to appropriate that promise. But we've formed the habit of trying to appropriate by belief, forgetting that belief is a mental quality. Faith, as God himself imparts to the heart, is spiritual. It's warm, it's vital, it lives, it throbs, its power is absolutely irresistible when it is imparted to the heart by the Lord. We can't manufacture faith. We can't work it up. Faith is a gift from God. It's a gift, and unless we remain in close daily relationship with the Lord, we could find ourselves with a soul that's filled up with rubbish that won't sustain us. We need to guard our faith and hedge it about. We need to be building it up daily. Let me read to you from Jude, starting from verse 17. He says, "But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They told you that in the last time there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives." And think about Acts and the disciples waiting in the upper room. They were waiting there in faith because Jesus had told them to go and wait. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And thousands were added to the church as a result of their faith and being filled with the Spirit. Only the power of the Holy Spirit could have made that happen. God wants to move through us in the same way, but it can only happen as we are filled to overflowing with God, with his Holy Spirit. "God, set me on fire. Fill me to overflowing so that others will see and be set on fire." There's a song by Matt Redman called It's Well With My Soul. It's taken from the old hymn called It Is Well With My Soul. And I was listening to him singing, and there was a little excerpt from him talking about his writing of it. And he talked about evergreen Christians. Evergreen Christians are one who are green in summer and green in the winter, green in the good times and green in the hard times. That's what I want to be. But I can't manufacture that. It has to be by faith. It has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. It can only be through my relationship with Jesus, my Lord. It's only as I'm daily refreshed and filled with his Spirit. I want to tell you that God is speaking to us. We just have to hear and obey. He speaks to us every day if we'll take the time to listen. When we hear his voice, our faith is built up. I want to give you a couple of little examples. They're just little things, but just an example of how God speaks, and when I've heard him anyway, how he speaks to each one of us is different, but just a couple of little examples of when I've heard God speak. God's interested in the little things, let me say, and perhaps it's those little things that keep us on track with him, that keep us hungry for more of him. Way back when we were, you know, very young Christians, probably 5 or 6 years after we were saved, we were living in Mombok and going to a home group down in Lilydale. And I'm trying to remember back, but I think David used to go early for prayer, even way back then. Still the same today, isn't he? But I used to drive out from Mombok over to Seville and pick someone up and then go out to Lilydale. And I had two young kids at the time, so the third one wasn't there yet, but so, you know, a baby and a toddler. And I'd drive all the way to Seville, pick this woman up and drive all the way to Lilydale and then do it on the way home again, doing my Christian duty, thinking that I was sowing into her life and showing God to her. But she was a difficult woman. She was an unusual woman. She had a difficult home life, a difficult marriage. There were so many areas of her life that were difficult. And not only that, but, well, her hygiene wasn't wonderful and her voice was really difficult to listen to. She wasn't terribly clever. She wasn't very wise. But she loved God. And God chose to use her to speak to me. We were in our home group and we were singing and worshipping God. And she had a song for the Lord, and it was just a love song to God. And it was, you know, that raspy voice, and it wasn't in tune, and it just grated, and yet I could hear her love for God and God's love for her. And God spoke to me at that time and said, you know, he looks at what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. And I could have missed that. I could have missed that God speaking to me. But he gave me ears to hear at that point, and I'm really grateful for that, because it's something that has stuck with me, that God doesn't look to see what's on the outside. He knows what's in the heart, and that's what's important. Another example. Last week, you might remember, there was a word about what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And I remember standing here last week and thinking, okay, that's interesting. It didn't really say anything to me specifically. But then I was talking to someone later on and it really spoke to them, and it was just what they needed to hear at that time. And I thought, wow, God, you're so good. You are interested in each and every one of us, and every one of us is individual, and he speaks to us individually. God does speak to us, and he does it his way. He's speaking to us all the time. Another example, and he speaks to each one of us differently, so remember that. When I was in Bible college way back, I was out at Mount Evelyn at what was Care Force then, and we were given the assignment to go and find a quiet place and sit and listen to see what God would say to you. And I thought, oh no, I'm in trouble. I'm going to be shown up for the fraud that I am. I'm not going to hear anything, you know. It was really, really worrying me. Anyway, I went and sat, and I was sitting outside, and I was looking at the back of the church, and you can see there's a property up the back. And I was just watching this and think, God, what are you saying to me? I can't hear anything. Speak to me, please, please. Anyway, there was this dog in the backyard of this property, and it was just running around the property. It was just running, and it was so full of life and energy and excitement and exuberance. And God spoke to me at that time. And I can't remember specifically what he said to me now, but I know that he spoke to me. I saw that dog and I thought, oh, God, there you are. There you are. And he had something to say to me. So I want to say to you, God speaks. We just have to have ears to hear. We have to listen. Sometimes it's an obvious way that he speaks to us, and others are more unusual. He might even use a donkey. But we need to hear his voice, because that's where we'll find peace and rest for our soul. But we need to have faith to be able to hear. We need to believe and trust him that he is speaking to us. Hearing his voice builds our faith. Hebrews 3 from verse 12 says, "Be careful then, brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we're faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ." And then from Hebrews 4 from verse 1 says, "God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them," the children of Israel. "But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest." And then from verse 9, "So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God, for all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labours, just as God did after creating the world. So let's do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fail. For the word of God is alive and powerful, It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we must give account. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Then we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Let's boldly approach his throne. We will find grace. So we need the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit daily to help us stand. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." And I want to read another thing from Catherine Kuhlman on that verse in Ephesians 5. She says, "One of the great differences between the Old and New Testaments is the changed relationship between the Spirit and God's people. Jesus' disciples were in training with him for 3 years, but not until the day of Pentecost were they endued with power from on high. Peter the fisherman could never have preached the sermon he did on the day of Pentecost and pierced 3,000 in their hearts without the help of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an occupancy. There's new strength, divine strength, and Holy Ghost boldness. Now we come to the question that is asked of me again and again." This is Catherine Kuhlman. "How can I be filled with the Spirit? If you're a Christian and you've been born again, this second experience, this infilling of the Holy Spirit, is important to you and is a vital part of your spiritual growth and blessed part of your inheritance in Christ. It's God's plan that you receive this infilling of his Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, the Apostle Paul gives the command, 'Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.' It's a command, it isn't optional." Now, what does Paul have in mind when he said, 'Be filled with the Spirit'? This word 'filled' may be used in two different senses. In the original text, there are two different Greek words, both translated 'filled.' One suggests a filling up, as you might take a glass and a pitcher of water, and you pour water from the pitcher into the empty glass so that water fills up the glass. The disciples on the day of Pentecost were filled. That is, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit moved in, came to dwell, and his presence was manifested in the believers. But watch something, she says. The second sense of the word seems to have the added thought not only of presence, but of power that manifests itself through the individual who is filled up. It's not only that water is poured into the empty glass, but there was more than that. There was a power that manifested itself through that glass having been filled up with water. Thus, there is a place where one is so filled up with not only the presence of the Holy Spirit, but also filled up with a power that manifests itself, so that through that individual who is filled up with the Spirit, Christ is revealed. How can I be filled with the Spirit? I'll give you the answer in just a few words. She says, "Turn yourself and all you have over to Jesus." It's not the surrender of things, it's the surrender of you. Being filled with the Spirit is that simple. There is no power in the world today greater than the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost are linked together, we have an energy that nothing can stop. We have a power that produces miracles. Turn yourself and all you have over to Jesus. It's not the surrender of things, it's the surrender of you. It's a big ask. God wants everything. Everything, every day. God is speaking to us all the time. He is a good, good Father, and his love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. Everything we have, everything we are, is what he's calling for from us. Let's cling to him. Let's surrender to him every day. He will fill us. His mercies are new every morning. He is faithful. This is where we're refreshed. This is where we find rest for our souls. This is where we're set on fire, that the one next to us might be set on fire. Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 26 says, "Through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." This is what it's all about. We need to turn ourselves over to him afresh each day. And I know we know this, but it's where we will find rest for our soul. It's where we find peace each day. It's where we find refreshing. This is where we're set on fire so that others will be set on fire. God, help me to do that every day. Then we will know that daily refreshing and infilling of his Holy Spirit. Then we will truly be able to say, "It is well with my soul," no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our condition. When Jesus truly is Lord of all, then he is Lord of all those things that would try to bring me down. It is well with my soul because Jesus Christ is Lord. What's the condition of your soul? We're going to listen to sing that song of Matthew Redman's, "It is well with my soul." But before we do, let me just pray. Father God, we're so grateful, Lord, that you've called us and that you didn't call us to walk alone, but God, that you called us and you filled us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you refresh us, that you fill us each day, Lord. God, we pray, touch our hearts, speak to us, let us hear your voice, Lord. Lift us up as you build us and grow us in you, Lord. Lord, that we would find rest for our souls, God, that we would be set on fire, God, that those near us, those around us would be set on fire. Lord, that we could truly say, "It is well with my soul." Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.